So it's been almost a week since J.C. Dugard escaped a life of imprisonment and sexual assault. She and her two daughters are free, but how do they start recovery? Science Times reporter Bennett Carey joins us this morning. Ben, you wrote a front page article in today's New York Times that talks about how kids or other former captives can start recovering from these, both emotionally and mentally. So how do they do that? What steps do they take?
Well, there's therapy they can get. I mean, we know it's possible because, millions of people have undergone sort of horrible things, war crimes and prison camps and so on, and built full lives afterwards. But there is a specific therapy for this if she chooses to try it. And it works on things, certain, thoughts and beliefs that are distorted that may have developed during the ordeal and kind of unwanted emotions, and tries to help the person sort of tell the story and file it away as a chapter of their lives instead of the defining story of their lives.
So you, in your article, make the distinction between cognitive behavioral therapy and, say, psychotherapy. In other words, you're saying it's probably not good for her to relive what she went through for the past years, but behavioral therapy focuses on changing your thought patterns to replace sort of negative, non-positive thoughts with good, strong, positive thoughts.
Sort of. I mean, some people do apparently benefit from reliving it and sort of blunting the emotion that comes with re-experiencing it, but not everybody does. But yeah, cognitive therapy deals with sort of examining and diffusing kind of distorted beliefs like, oh, it was my fault, or I can never trust anyone again.
You know, Ben, this reminds me a little bit of that creepy Jodie Foster movie, Nell, where she's like raised in an environment where her entire reality is distorted. I mean, I'm just wondering, being underneath the sort of umbrella of these people, your sense of the outside world would be so distorted. How do you regain that?
Well, I think it starts with reconnecting with, in her case, her first family, and beginning to trust other people and finding a kind of a new reality, a new social bond through them. People who have been in captivity often are very ambivalent about their captors. They've been shown a cruel side, but also a kind side. And they have to acknowledge that often, that it's a mixed person, even though it looks like a monster from the outside to us. And they're also very ambivalent about their own actions when they're in captivity. I mean, the one question that hangs over these cases is, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you run? Why didn't you fight? And the fact is, in often cases, they don't, for survival reasons. And they have to understand, I think, why they did those things, and not judge themselves too harshly in retrospect, but to appreciate that at the time, they had very good reasons for making those decisions.
So, Benedict Carey, your science reporter for our partner, the New York Times. This whole thing is complicated by the fact that J.C. Dugard is now the subject of intense media scrutiny, and that'll probably continue for a little while. I mean, she's definitely, she in the spotlight. Her stepdad was on Larry King. So her, any recovery plans she has are going to be complicated by being so much attention paid to her.
Well, she's ducked the press pretty well so far. The kids are out of sight. She's been spending time, apparently, with her mom. And the stepdad appears to be acting as kind of a spokesperson, and maybe the press coverage will kind of clear, and she'll be allowed to have some privacy and make some decisions with, on her own or with her parents or her mom. I mean, Elizabeth Smart did that, it appears, and it seems to have worked fairly well for them. So, so far so good. I mean, I think a lot of therapists I talked to said that they're impressed that she's kept herself sort of close to family and hasn't made a spectacle of it, given interviews or on TV.
Let's hope it continues to go well. Benedict Carey is a science reporter for our partner, the New York Times, author of a front page story on how to recover from these kind of events.